Hello, welcome to the Reflective Meditation Podcast. We're so glad you're here. In each episode, we offer a short Dharma talk that discusses the Dharma and how it may appear in our daily lives. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. After the talk, you're invited to meditate for 15 minutes or as long as you please. And then, if you wish, we also invite you to journal about anything that came up for you in your meditation.
We're exploring views this morning, and I'm going to continue with the view that we talked about yesterday, the view everything happens for a reason. And a view is really, as we have said, an invisible lens with which we see the world. And we talk about views a lot in reflective meditation. In fact, they're a large part of our fundamentals, fundamentals of the practice. So I looked back to see how we stated our relationship with views. And we talk about exploring views embedded in our experience, not to find a correct view, but to see how the view functions and to start to know when our views are rigidifying, when they're really becoming tight. And with that reflection, we're really looking for views that are onward leading or freeing, that help free us a bit more, lead us in a more wholesome direction. And we're looking for a wider spectrum of views, not just to find, again, one view or three views. We're really looking to broaden our views. So I can't help but look at the language of the statement, everything happens for a reason. And everything, really? I mean, this is how it starts. I really have to question the word everything. Because yes, that's what this statement means. And it really shows a love of certainty, a love of everything is encompassed by that word everything. And that there are times when certainty is clarifying and it's helpful. And actually it orients us, and we need it, a certain amount of it. But it doesn't seem to really belong in views. So I really can't accept the word everything there. Even though science might say this, or other authorities might say it, for me, it seems that this is the tension. When we start to get in this type of certain language, it becomes factual. And suddenly this has to be a capital T true statement. And my questions always go, well, what about the unknown? What about the uncertain? What about the invisible to us? So it's really been a reason I've been drawn to Buddhism, Buddha Dharma, is because, you know, one of the teachings, conditionality, core teaching, as we talked about, it acknowledges other invisible conditions to us. Things that we can't see and know. And we're not directed to find a single cause or the reason that everything happened. Because this is the other thing that view could set up, is that now we have to find the reason why everything happens. So even though there is at times simple cause and effect, we can see that something, you know, precluded or preceded another thing, that there really are other historical conditions, other supporting conditions, other dominant things in our experience that are a part of the effect. So language matters to us reflectors, and I really consider us reflectors here. I think Susan said the word once, and I'm picking it up, and that's also part of our sangha, is that when somebody says something, it becomes ours, and we start to pass it around and use it. And now I'm going to jump to Sally Tilsdale. She's not a member of our sangha, but she is an American writer and essayist. She's also a Zen practitioner. And I feel a real warmth for her book, the title, not the book as much, but the title, Advice for Future Corpses and Those Who Love Them. I mean, isn't that creative? So anyway, I'm on board with that. And I'm going to use her words because, again, I look for people's words and views that I can relate with, that we can bounce off of. And she talks about creative work and spiritual work. I'm sorry, and spiritual practice, both cultivate a relationship to the invisible. Think about the invisible. Words are all we have most of the time to explain ourselves and to connect with others. We pull words out of this invisible in order to manifest something physical in our world and in our lives. So it goes back to, I look at the process of meditating is we are meditating with this invisible lens, with our views. We can't subtract them before we sit down. And we're hoping our practice of reflective meditation helps make some of those invisible views, invisible, more visible. And we put our experience into words and feelings and associations, and this makes them more visible. We share them with others. This makes them more visible. And if you're new to our Sangha, you'll hear us talk about our experience and what was visible to us. And also what's invisible to us. You often hear us talk about things we don't know or don't understand yet. Because I would say that if your inner world has only clarity, that's a red flag. And that reflective meditation is bringing in more colors and more doubts and more uncertainties and exposing the invisibility. Now I have a by the way here. This is my by the way. Invisibility to me is a kind of loose formula of mystery, uncertainty, sprinkled with a little ignorance, a little bit of dash of not knowing. Like I have this meaning that I'm making of invisibility that I hold, and it's a spectrum of words for me. And this might mean something different to you, a little different flavor, a little different formula when you hear the word invisibility. So I'm going to end with another view. I'm not going to tell you what the view is, but it's akin to this view. And it's from another woman that I've been listening to a lot. And I think she's been developing as a writer, AOC. She's also a activist and part of the U.S. House of Representatives. And make of it what you will. But I'm going to end with her view. Revolutionary and transformative changes from the inside out happen more like mosaics. Think of it like this. No matter who we are, how visible or invisible, or big or small, each one of us is just a tile. Whether you see that as liberating or disempowering is a matter of perspective. When you have your eye pressed up all the way to a single tile of a mosaic, it can look quite meaningless. A single piece of shattered glass can look worthless, or perhaps a piece of small painted porcelain could seem beautiful, but too small to be anything. Or maybe a stunning rare slab of stone may think itself as the biggest piece of the whole tile, but it's really only in the corner. The secret is, it's all significant. When we're able to step back from thinking our own broken, unfinished pieces are not enough and start to see how all the other little pieces glistening alongside of us start to form eyes and ears and abstract beauty and landscapes and symbols and much more, we realize that just because we didn't see the big picture at first doesn't mean we aren't part of one.
We now invite you to meditate in a position that's comfortable for you for 15 minutes. This can be longer or shorter. There are no hard and fast rules. After your meditation, try journaling about your experience. Was there anything in your meditation that made you curious? If you'd like to join us daily, we meet daily online between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. US Pacific Time. The link to join us can be found at reflectivemeditation.org/daily online. And if you'd like to support our work, please head to reflectivemeditation.org/daily online to offer a donation. any dana would be gratefully received. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.